You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. Amazing odds every single day. Rudo, AJ, Megan, coming at you live on a Tuesday, right? Yeah.
What day is it?
It's hard to keep up. Avs obviously finished their first round series last night, moving on to round two with the sweep. But they're not the only hockey team in Colorado in the playoffs, nor are they the first team to move on to round two, as the Colorado Eagles are going to be taking on the Ontario Reign in their second round series in the AHL. Megan has been covering them pretty much all season, so I'm sure she's got all of the interesting details for us. Megan, are you confident in the Eagles going into the second round?
I am, just because of how they've played against Ontario throughout the regular season. And they had a pretty strong series against Henderson as well, that I think they built some momentum going into round two that they'll only build on.
Cool. That's a good start to the section. It is going to be a little bit interesting. There are some moving parts here for the Colorado Eagles, no doubt. Eustace Annan is expected to be back for game one, of course, but he does have to, I mean, I guess he had to travel back from Nashville anyway, right? He just has to rejoin the Eagles up in Loveland, but expected to be the starter for the Eagles. I know, especially down the stretch of the season, he was kind of splitting time with Miska there. Right. How has that situation gone in goal for the Eagles?
It's gotten better. Eustace had a tough March, but right at the tail end of the regular season and then the Henderson series, he looked strong. It was after a really difficult game. It was the Pot of Gold game in March, where both Miska and Eustace led in 5 goals each. But it was particularly tough on Eustace, and I think it depleted his confidence a little bit, and it showed in some of the games that followed. And so actually some of those Ontario games too that the Eagles played after that, Miska was starting and won 3 of the 6 games that they played. And so I'm guessing that they still go with Eustace to start, especially because he's looked a lot more confident. But Miska was really solid in net when they played Ontario earlier in the season.
All right. Continuing rolling on here. Let's start with the Reign side of things. I do want to save some of our Eagles pieces. As you said, in the AHL, you get a lot of the same teams playing each other. So Eagles and Ontario certainly very familiar with each other when it comes to that. It is an interesting situation, though, because both parent clubs are still in the playoffs. So we don't get to see either of these teams kind of do that thing where they load up all of their paper transacted players. So it should be a pretty straight up AHL versus AHL matchup here. How has the Reign looked against the Eagles throughout the season? Where are they strong? Where are they weak?
They're strong in TJ Tynan. He finished the AHL Player of the Year, and I think he was one of the leading scorers with like 98 points. And interestingly enough, against the Eagles specifically, Tynan had, let's see, a goal and 7 assists in the regular season. And then in his last series, they played the San Diego Gulls. He had a goal and assist. And so compared to how the Eagles matched up against them in the regular season, let's see. Yeah, Sakura, he had 6 goals and 4 assists against Ontario earlier in the season. I still think that Colorado comes out offensively stronger, even with a tool like TJ Tynan was one of their leading scorers. Martin Ferk, I included him just because he's probably going to be someone of interest for Ontario when we're watching this series, even if it's just contentious. This was someone that was put on my radar when Bo Byram came back for his conditioning stint, and there was just a little bit of tensions between him. He's been a pretty good goal scorer for them, too. He had a goal and 4 assists against the Eagles in the regular season. So he's someone I'm expecting Ontario is going to also count on pretty heavily against the Eagles in this round.
Martin Ferk has that big old slap shot, too.
Yeah, he's got the bomb, no doubt about it. I am curious. We, for much of the regular season, we've heard the conversation about the Avs that, oh, they're soft. They don't play against physicality well. Historically, the Ontario Reign have been a very physical hockey team. Never afraid to mix it up on that side of things. How do the Eagles match up against something like that?
I think the Eagles are a physically tough team to play against. They have a lot of guys to answer to in their D-core especially. And they've been playing Middleton. They've been playing Englund, especially because right now Dennis Gilbert is hurt and Jacob McDonald is questionable. So I think they're going to be counting on guys like Englund and Middleton, and they can dish it out just as well. Even in the forward group, though, I think that Martin Kaut has grown stronger in his game, and he plays a more physical game now than he did at the start of the season. And Sherwood, too, that's kind of an unspoken thing. He is very strong, and I think that he, on that top line, is going to be physically imposing as well.
Okay, so maybe expecting a little bit of a physical series.
I hope not.
Is there, let's get into the debate, because you have to have this anytime there's a playoff series where any team gets more rest than the other. Rest versus rust here, where Ontario did not have to play in round one. They got the bye, I believe.
I think they also
did they play
against San Diego?
Yeah, you're right. My bad. So not really the conversation. The actual conversation, though, is the Eagles are coming off of 2 straight wins against Henderson going into face Ontario. Ontario did, I believe, get like an extra day or two of rest just because of the way the schedule played out. But with these two teams, Eagles have home ice to start the series. I don't know how I want to phrase this question. Let me put it this way. How important is it for the Eagles to get out ahead of this series? Or are they a team capable of battling back if they drop the first game?
I think that's something they've been 50-50 on throughout the season. So to me, it would be critical that they win game 1 and 2 at home. Because they have that home ice advantage, they do play better in front of their hometown fans. And I think they need those games ahead of going to Ontario. I'm just not confident in their ability to battle back in the series if they even drop just one of these two games coming up.
So to be clear, this is a best of 5 where the first 2 are in Colorado.
And it's a 2-3, yeah.
Yeah, and then the last 3 are in California if need be.
Yep. I think the Eagles could pull it off, too, winning the first 2 and then building on that momentum to win a 3rd. I think they're kind of young mentally in how they respond to things, and so I could see them really benefiting from that if they win game 1 and 2. They played so well against Henderson, too. Like, Ontario, it was an OT win for them in their second game of their best of 3, and it was a really close game with San Diego, whereas with Henderson for Colorado, they were pretty high scoring games. Colorado looked strong in each.
Yeah, I agree. The Henderson series I thought was actually really impressive from the Eagles. This is a team that there's 2 sides of this conversation, right? The Eagles as a hockey franchise across all leagues they've ever played in, they've never missed the playoffs. They're a team who has never missed the playoffs in any league they've ever been in. since joining the AHL, it's been consistent first round exits for them. So this is kind of new territory for the franchise as far as the AHL level is concerned. They have a strong veteran core, guys we'll talk about in a little bit here. But I am curious where their heads are at. Is there a little bit of extra pressure, or is this a free roll for them going into the second round?
Oh, I think there's pressure. It's my personal opinion that at no point in this season did they look dominant to me, especially within their own division. It seems like it's just a really difficult division. And they have a lot of pieces that make them dominant, but there have just been areas of their game that have struggled, whether it be the penalty kill or the power play, sometimes it's goaltending, that have made them feel like a third place team in the division, which is where they end up. And so I think they have tools to be a first place team, but I don't know if they've mentally believed that throughout the whole season. So I think there's a lot of pressure because they have a lot of the right tools. There are a lot of guys having career years. Like, I have to look at that as something that reflects that the development is working to some degree, even if some people like the veteran core are having career years. I think these pieces came together in a really great way this season specifically. Dennis Gilbert having a career year, Jordan Gross having a career year, that kind of thing.
AJ, I know you've been a big fan of Dennis Gilbert, obviously has had a little bit of trouble staying healthy this year. Maybe kind of a borderline, hard to really call him a prospect still, but a dude that does have about 30 games NHL experience. First of all, Megan, is he going to get into this series? Will he be back? Is he healthy enough?
I'm not a doctor, but I don't think so.
Okay.
His ankles hurt.
Unfortunate there. But you keep on moving down the list. We can kind of start digging into the prospect side of things, however you want to call them. Obviously, the main two on the front end are Martin Kaut and Shane Bowers, who... certainly Bowers' season has been a little bit all over the place, but Megan, you alluded to it. You're starting to see a really quality hockey player, certainly, at least at the AHL level, out of Martin Kaut.
Yes.
So, I know he's not your X Factor because I've looked ahead and cheated with the graphics.
Somebody cheated.
But how important are those prospects to the Eagles at this point? Sure, those guys are still auditioning for potential NHL jobs in the future, but their focus is on helping the Eagles win playoff games. So where do they provide the most impact?
Like the prospects specifically, like a Kaut, yes. Even a Bocage. And I'm one of my, he's not in a graphic, but one of my unexpected factors is actually Foodie. And I had him placed higher than Kaut, and it's not necessarily that Foodie has a greater impact, but that Foodie, especially in the first series, came alive in a way and was more visible to me than Kaut was. And that
scored
is not
in both games, didn't he?
Yes, back-to-back games. So I'm like really looking forward to playoff Foodie and what I've seen in his development from the start of the season through now. I actually asked Cronin about it after the Henderson series because he's someone, Foodie specifically, who's been bounced around third, fourth line at points. He was a healthy scratch one game just because Cronin wanted him to get a bird's eye view. And then he came back and scored a goal in the next game. And so whatever they're doing with him has been very effective. Now he's playing on the second line. He's scoring goals in back-to-back games in the playoffs. And basically Cronin chalked it up to him maturing. He's a really young guy. He basically could have been a senior in high school this last year. And he talked about how it takes a village. He talked about like the team coming together in a way to parent Foodie almost, like when they see him falling off a little bit, the team comes in and it takes a village where Foodie is concerned. And I thought that was really funny how they utilize Foodie. But Kaut probably doesn't fall into that category as much because he is a little more mature as a player. But he has become more reliable defensively, and he is an incredibly important part of the penalty kill now. And that was something that was incredibly impressive and important in the Henderson series. So Kaut is going to be a guy that they can count on the penalty kill, especially with some of the injuries that they're facing right now.
Talk about that PK, and you have to kill five penalties in the first period. You're busy.
didn't love it, but it's just such an AHL thing. Like, it wasn't even specific to just the Eagles being undisciplined. It was just, this is the AHL right now.
They called 9 penalties in the first period of that game, and it was like, guys, we're not here for you.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? They were just setting the standard for the NHL playoffs, honestly.
Yes. Those guys are going to be in the NHL playoffs in a year.
True.
I don't know if this is common knowledge, but Andreas Englund is one fight away from an automatic one-game suspension because he's at 9 and it takes 10.
Yeah, and then he had an incident at the end of game 2.
It doesn't look like there will be supplemental discipline. That was a general worry of mine, that he would get suspended. In my opinion, also not an official, not a doctor, not an official. It looked like a clean open ice hit, but I still worried that he would be suspended for it.
I thought somebody was going to, like, go after him, and that was going to be his fight. And, like,
someone tackled him and started – so Englund started punching him in the head. It was a really bad sequence.
Yeah. But
it wasn't a proper fight. They were on the ice, like, on the ground. It was horrible. I shouldn't be smiling. It was not good.
That was the part that killed me, though, is that there was an incident. There was an altercation. There were punches thrown. There were knees, like, attacked. But they didn't consider it a fight, so he doesn't get the automatic suspension. I was just like,
if that was special consideration,
okay,
for what did, was at stake.
Yeah, I do wonder if you get into, like, it was self-defense territory for that argument.
He was tackled, right?
Yeah,
like, exactly.
I don't remember who. Oh, it was Caden Korzak, went right after his knee, and it was like, duh. And I get it, like, he's a big tree of a human being, so, you know, start low and chop from there, but good lord, man.
That was spooky.
Okay, well, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the bar, or of course find it at your local liquor store. Do that. They're also giving away tickets to every Colorado Avalanche playoff home game. You can go to breckbrew.com to find more info and nominate someone to win those tickets. Everyone, games 1 and 2, a round 2, yep. If there's a game 5, yep. If there's a game 7, yep. Round 3 and the cup finals, they'll be given away as long as the Avs are in the playoffs and at home. So go check all of that out at breckbrew.com. And then if you can't go to the game, you can always watch it on Avaca.tv. Go to Avaca.tv/DNVR. That's EVOCA.tv/DNVR. You can get their package for just $15 a month for the first 3 months when you use that DNVR code. And it's just $25 a month after that. They've got Altitude. They've got Rocky Mountain Sports Network, AT&T Sports Network, it's called now. I always say the old version. They've got the national channel. So they've got all major sports in Colorado covered here in Denver. I know it's been a little bit hard to find that stuff legally lately. So if you don't want to mess around, jump through all the hoops of going on the internet and finding all that stuff, Avaca TV sends you a box. You hook it right up to your television. Bam, you turn it on, you're watching your sports. It's that easy. Highly recommend if you haven't checked it out yet. A lot of people have switched, have hit me up and been like, yo, Avaca TV is great. It's super easy to use, and everything works. It's that simple.
It's amazing what a great selling point everything works is.
Yep.
But it's true. I mean, it's really easy.
You didn't understand how easy it was until you couldn't just turn on the TV and watch the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, you and I live a different world. Yeah, so,
and look, at this point, a lot of people understand, like, they know how to watch the Avs if they're watching them. They do, but a lot of people have also just stopped watching the team because they don't have the easy access to it. So this is a great option, you know, for me. Tell your parents about it, because my parents aren't going to go through Hulu or SportsSurge or whatever, pick your favorite website. They're not going to do that. If it's not on, they're just not going to watch it. So that's the people, especially, that you can really help out with Avaca TV. Let them know. I don't know. I don't think Avaca's in Canada yet. They have a few locations across the states that you can get it in, but I don't believe it's in Canada. So sorry on that one. Second period of the DNVR Eagles podcast. Got it right this time instead of calling it the Avs like I did earlier. heading into this series, Megan, we've got the graphics. Let's get into the X factors for the Eagles of the series. Which one would you start with? Sherwood or Sakura?
I think ultimately Sakura is tops, but I had to give some credit to Sherwood. So Sakura is probably tops here. That's okay. Just because of how he performed in the last series and how he's matched up against Ontario in the regular season. He was the leading scorer against Ontario with 6 goals and 4 assists, and he had 3 assists in the last series. Only person who had more points than him last series was Roland McEwen, which I don't think anyone saw coming, but I think he had 3 assists and a goal.
He had 4 assists, it looks like. They changed the goal.
4 assists, okay.
But yes, and Sakura has been someone who's been this guy kind of all year for the Eagles, right? Ontario has TJ Tynan. The Eagles have Dylan Sakura.
Yeah, they both finished, I think, Tynan's top 3. Sakura's 5th, somewhere around there. 5th. He might be 7th, and Sherwood actually might be 5th in the league in scoring.
So certainly some high octane at the top of the Eagles team there. Sakura officially with 33 goals and 40 assists in 60 games. And that includes missing a handful of games for times where he was called up with the abs.
I got to give him credit too. I was worried about him being the call up for his time at the Avalanche. I didn't trust him. He was mishandling the puck a few times or at the beginning of the season and creating turnovers, but he played, as far as the call ups go, one of the best. He fit in pretty well. As far as the young call-ups go.
Yeah, he was an interesting one when the Avs/Eagles acquired him, because I think AJ certainly expected that you'd see a little bit of him in the NHL. So it wasn't surprising to see him called up, but we've seen the Avs rotate through a number of guys. You know, historically, Sheldon Dries, TJ Tynan got that chance when he was here. Even to a lesser extent, someone like Kiefer Sherwood, where you never really know what you're going to get out of those AHL tweener type players
right in
the NHL. So when Sakura can come in and do something solid like that for the Avs, is it a massive game changer? No. Does it matter? Yes. On the other side, though, Kiefer Sherwood, what's not to love about this player in the AHL? And I do want to dig into this conversation, because a lot of people that are going to be viewing this through an NHL and Avalanche lens need to understand that Sakura and Sherwood are elite AHL hockey players.
Right.
So sell me on Sherwood. What's good with Kiefer?
The qualifier in the AHL is really important, because the AHL is just a different type of hockey. It's not a lot of 5-on-5. A lot of it's done on special teams. And we talked about discipline and lots of penalties. That happens a lot in the AHL. And so a lot of time is spent on the power play. And Kiefer Sherwood's on that top power play unit, and he thrives there. He's really well-rounded in his game generally. There's not really an area that I'd like to see it better at, but it just doesn't really translate at the NHL level. That's why we're having this conversation with the qualifier at the AHL level. But he has elevated his game. He's having a career year as well for himself personally. And he's demonstrated some leadership as well. At points when there have been guys out of the lineup, he's worn a letter. And so he just brings so much to the table for the Colorado Eagles that can only, you know, there's a trickle down effect. It can only benefit the young prospects whenever those lines get mixed around in practice, things like that, or even just having a power play that works pretty effectively to give people on PP2 like Bocage and Foodie a chance to get better. I think that's the benefit of having someone like Sherwood there.
Is beyond just a trickle down effect, is there opportunity for particularly Foodie, who is a center, to get opportunities to play next to these guys?
You know, it's interesting, because right now with Foodie, it's Cow that he's getting opportunities to play alongside. And I think that is still going to be so beneficial to him. Like, haven't really seen the Sherwood, Sakura, Maltsev line get broken up and have them placed in different parts of the lineup, which I think would be interesting. But Cow's been moved a little bit, and I don't think it's a demotion. I think that the first and second line are both just really good.
Yeah, to your original point, it's trying to define lines in the AHL can be difficult because of all that special teams time. So you do end up with some weird minutes and things like that at times in the AHL. But I do want to keep it moving down the forwards. I know not maybe not your X factor, but AJ has been all about this dude the entire season in Mikhail Maltsev. He's wanted the Avs to bring him back up. It hasn't happened. Has he at least shown out in the AHL?
Oh, absolutely. I love Maltsev. I think he wins a lot of faceoffs. I'm a big advocate of that. I think it helps so much throughout the game. And a lot of his points are through assists. He distributes the puck really well, and he is become more reliable defensively too. He got bumped down to PP2, but it just had something to do with his shot. It wasn't anything of a demotion for him. And I really liked what I've seen of him too, because he used to be a little shyer to play the body and enter those board battles, but I've seen him doing it a lot more and not checking out at the ends of shifts. That was something I saw him and Kaut doing at the beginning of the season, but they're both showing up in every way. And Maltsev is one that I'd love to see called up again too.
Well, and I think with a guy like Maltsev and to a similar extent, a guy like Kaut, when you talk about like how good they are, their skills aren't really what's held them back in the NHL. It's been a lot more of understanding the engagement, the shift by shift. You've got to be committed to what you're doing. You have to understand that there are no shifts off. You don't get, you know, these guys aren't going to be high-end NHL players. They don't get 24 shifts to go out there and work their way into a game. They've got to be engaged from the jump. And that's where I think you've seen both Maltsev and Kaut take steps forward this year, is that they've started to figure it out a lot more, that there's a certain level of accountability that the Avalanche are looking for. There's a certain level of just engagement. Every single time you get on the ice, you've got to be able to bring that and not just have really quiet stretches of games where you go, you know, you play 8 minutes and nobody notices you out there. And I think it's especially true for Maltsev that that's gotten better as the year has gone on. Now playing in between two guys who end up in the top 10 in the AHL in scoring is going to help, but he's also helped that line work. Like, he has tied a bow on that line. They couldn't have dropped just any old center down there and said, like, they couldn't have put Robert Hamilton there and been like, okay, this line still works. So it's a credit to Maltsev that he has made that work, and he's had a great year. He's been great this year.
I want to give him credit from the first call-up opportunity in the season to the second, the improvement he showed in each. I think that you talked about engagement, and that's something that Cronin at the beginning of the season said was an area of his game to improve on, was energy and showing up with the same energy shift by shift. And I do think that he has shown up more consistently, as engaged as ever. And I think too, he learned a lot from the first call-up experience into the next, and was able to make more of his opportunity in the second call-up, even though he didn't actually get a point. He came very close to it. And I think that's something that separates him from Kaut a little bit, is I don't know if Kaut, in his also limited role during call-up opportunities, was able to make himself visible. And I think Maltsev was beginning to learn that a little bit better.
All right. I do want to get into the defenseman as well. But first, we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. You can use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. Bet $5 on any NBA playoff game and get $150 in free bets. So jump on that when you get $150. If you are an Eagles fan, yes, you absolutely can bet on the AHL playoffs when it comes to DraftKings Sportsbook. Megan, I can't imagine you prepared any bets, but who would you bet? What would you bet on? Eagles in five?
Think about it. Yeah, that's probably fair. Eagles in five.
All right. AJ wanted Eagles in four down there. He's feeling confident.
I wanted it, but that feels cocky.
If you're feeling cocky, you can do that on DraftKings. You can take the Eagles in three if you're really feeling it. Go over there. I'm not saying you're going to win money on that bet, though. Be smart with your betting. You can bet on anything in the AHL. Of course, NHL bets. Of course, we'll make up a sport, and within a couple of weeks, it'll probably be on DraftKings for you to bet on. So jump over there. Go find something interesting to bet on. I couldn't sleep the other night. Throw on some darts. Make a couple bucks. It's that easy with DraftKings. So have some fun with it. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we're also brought to you by Lightshade. 11 different locations in the Denver metro area now to cover all of your THC and CBD needs. You can order online at lightshade.com and get 25% off when you use code DNVR there. That's buy an ounce, get a quad free, y'all. Jump on it. Go get that opportunity. You can also get their Ripple products, which is absolutely awesome stuff. You can put it in just about anything. It's just a tasteless dissolvable that you can put in a cup of Gatorade, you won't even notice it. You can put it in your brownies, you won't even taste it. You can put it in pretty much anything, turn it into an edible or a drinkable, goes right into your system, starts acting just like normal THC or CBD, depending on whichever kind you get, whatever you're looking for. They even have rip sticks. If you need some fast acting stuff, you can just pour it right on your tongue, starts working in 10 minutes. So go over to Lightshade, check out all of their awesome products today. Again, 11 different locations in the Denver metro area. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. You talked about Roland McEwen a little bit, the surprise step up in round one for the Eagles, but we would be remiss without mentioning Jordan Gross, the AHL defenseman of the year. Kind of a big deal for the Eagles.
Open league in scoring, too. Like, he was incredible this year.
He really was. A couple of us in the media talked to him after the Henderson series, and it was one of, I don't want to say strange in a critical way, it was one of the strangest interviews because he just didn't seem that excited. I think it just speaks to him being a really humble person, because we were talking about his accolades and the career year that he's having, and you know, what was the difference for you this year? What changed? And I don't even remember his answer. It was just something very basic. But he was really been impressive this season, especially offensively.
You know, it is interesting when you do interview some of those guys that are extremely focused, and in a year like that, they are often, you know, they're looking at the next thing. He's got a round two series to go get ready for. He's not worried about the awards. He'll deal with that stuff later.
Right.
So, you know, there you go. Like, the quick comment Yahir brought up, Makar Jr. confirmed with that humble mindset.
That's actually probably a great comparison because he was really nice, the same way that Kale Makar can be so kind, but just kind of devoid of emotion at points.
Slight serial killer vibes, not too much, but just a little bit. All right.
Because they're so focused.
Exactly. Moving down the Avs, or rather the Eagles, excuse me, defensive list, they had seven defensemen play in the round one series, the ones that played in every game, McEwen, Gross, and then you had the midseason college pickup of Omot, Andreas Englund, and Keaton Middleton.
I just want to interrupt you. What's wrong with McDonald? I don't remember what happened to him.
So it didn't happen. It happened in game one, apparently, but I didn't know what it was, just that he wasn't available for game two. And I asked if he would be available for the second round, and Cronin just didn't know. So I'm not sure what the issue is.
Not great.
He could show up game one, top line, top pair minutes. I don't know. I
certainly would be a boon to the Eagles, you would think, if he is. Yeah. That would be playing.
Really with Megna, too. I think Megna will be there just with the face shield. That's my guess, though.
Something you could potentially play through there, at least. Would
be nice for them to have their captain.
Right. It kind of sounded like you might require some cosmetic type surgery.
Get the extra thick face shield so nothing can get through there, maybe. Yeah. But continuing through the defense here, obviously mid-season trade of Justin Barron, which I know broke everyone's heart, but the Eagles have been using kind of a pretty stretched out cast of a bunch of different guys on defense this year. How have they made it work? How obviously, you know, in the regular season, you go all the way down to Nathan Clearman and all of these guys, but how have they settled in now that the playoffs have gotten underway?
Kind of weird timing, because the way that they settled in just before some of these injuries was by counting on Jacob McDonald and by counting on Dennis Gilbert. They've kind of been a huge part of this. Roland McEwen has actually been solid too throughout the season, but just about all of this year, Middleton and Englund, you could count on one of those two being scratched because everybody else was healthy. Kind of similar with Rob Hamilton, who I've really liked, but he's also usually the odd guy out with a fully healthy lineup. It's interesting to see that Wyatt Ahmet is getting the looks that he is right now, but I think it's kind of out of necessity. So I would actually point to the decor, the way it's structured right now, out of desperation a little bit, but it's not working badly. Like, it's working for the Eagles, at least. And a lot of that's Jordan Gross. Just the Eagles generally keeping the puck out of their own end and not making the decor fight for their lives. But the other part of it has been Roland McEwen stepping up. And I've always really liked Rob Hamilton. I think he's very reliable, and they have him on the top pair. So I think that has helped keep them afloat.
All right. With the forward side, you've talked about, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for a guy like a Foodie, a guy like a Kaut, where they're learning and you know, it's almost like a team effort to help those guys take the next steps in their career. With the defense as it's currently built, Clearman is down in the ECHL with the Grizzlies, so he's not really part of this team for the playoff run. How is the chemistry there with a bunch of guys that are, for the most part, career AHLers?
In the decor?
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty good because, with exception Ahmet, these guys have been playing together all season. So, it looks pretty good, even in spite of some of the changes. Like, Middleton's D partner was Justin Barron, and he's gone now. So, they look really cohesive to me, even Middleton and Ahmet together.
A very random thought that has nothing to do with the Eagles, but is it as weird to you two as it is to me that both Megna and Middleton families have a Jacob brother?
Yeah. And for some reason, Jacob McDonald and Jason Megna existing on the same team, I think I'm going to create a hybrid player and refer to him as Jacob Megna because of his brother. And so I really do worry that this is going to happen. I'm going to say that name one time.
Were they both in the Sharks organization until the
one
deadline?
Of them got traded, yeah. But yeah, like,
I know Middleton got moved to in the Kakanen deal that I hated that much. But it's so weird that, like, the other brother and the Sharks are just like, yeah, we'll go with, I guess. I don't even know. Most families have, like, the bad brother. But I don't think there's a good or bad brother in these.
No. Do they want to be the Avs, or are they just the off-brand Avs?
They want to be the Colorado organization.
They're the Avs that you buy, like, the unlicensed gear at Walmart that's got, like, the wrong shade of blue.
Mom, I want to buy the Avs. No, we have the Avs at home.
That's right.
San Jose.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess Jacob Middleton is he's like a real NHLer.
That's very fair.
Yeah,
maybe. But hey, Keaton Middleton has played NHL games.
He's really big.
He's very large. He can throw.
Take that.
I'm sure Middleton beat him up a bunch as a young kid.
I'm gonna say when they wrestle back at home for Christmas or whatever, Keaton gets his.
He's catching dubs left and right for sure at that point. Okay, so I think I've answered all of my own questions, but AJ, do you have anything, or Megan, anything you wanted to touch on with the Eagles organization?
Just the Sampo Ranta question and Oscar Olsson, you know, whether Sampo returns. I don't have the answer to that, but it is looking hopeful that he returns in a later series, pending how far the Eagles get, because he has returned to contact into practice. And as far as an Oscar Olsson debut, I guess that's going to hinder on a couple of things, like if Jason Megna is healthy. And because, I mean, it's kind of a good problem to have, but especially with the forward group right now, the guys that are healthy scratches are Bowers and Fontaine and Olsson. And those are all players that you could put in this lineup and would probably do well. And it would be hard at this point, I think, for Oscar Olsson to get precedent over Fontaine or Bowers. But it could happen, and I haven't seen what he's been like in practice. So I don't know if he'll do the debut anytime soon.
Obviously, injuries do happen, but same way the Avs just swept the Predators, the Eagles are 2-0 in the playoffs, and any coach is going to look at that and go, boy, I don't want to change my lineup.
Yes, exactly.
Might be tough for someone like Olsson to find a way into the lineup. We'll put it that way.
I just say, up until right now, it's really weird that the Avalanche organization hasn't lost a playoff game yet.
6-0.
Yeah. Because Colorado went 4-0. The Eagles went 2-0. And the Grizzlies have gone 3-0.
So 9-0. And
it's just like, it happened too.
So weird. Even
losing Trent Miner. Peyton Jones had a great game.
Old friend Peyton Jones.
Upon a time, he backed up an NHL game.
I just remember talking myself into him at prospect showcases and being like, he's big. He's big. And then he'd give up a softy over his glove. And I was like, all right. Well, he's big. Trent Miner is now actually, as of 8 minutes ago, been reassigned.
Good. I was curious why it hadn't happened before Miska came back.
Your goalie tweet from earlier today.
Requires an update.
Yeah.
Oh, goalies are always voodoo. So even when it comes to roster transactions, they're voodoo. You can never predict it.
That's true. I agree.
It's now. A more serious question came to me. The Avs got to finish their series before Mercury went into retrograde. The Eagles have to start their series with Mercury into retrograde.
It's not looking good. They took too many men penalties in game 2 of Henderson. I'm not feeling good about the communication with these guys, but hopefully that's something they've been working on.
Yeah.
Said, guys, we're in retrograde now. We can't be doing this.
Honestly, do they have the calendar in the locker room? Keeping track of it?
God, I hope so. I could see Billington being a Mercury retrograde guy.
His whole career has been in retrograde.
Oh, my God. It is extremely interesting, especially in the AHL, when you talk about communication like that, because I'm going to be honest, in the AHL, team systems are optional to a certain extent.
Suggestions.
Yeah. So when there are players around the ice and things are a little bit more free-flowing, that conversation, that ability to talk to each other and communicate on the ice does become that much more important for these players. So I do think if communication is affected here, could see some ugly hockey.
My hope too is it could just be chalked up to losing Megna mid-game and having to re-evaluate the lines and guys just being a little bit confused about where they needed to be and when. And so hopefully there will be some stability added back to the lineup, whether that means Magna is back for game 1 or they just have someone new there in his place. Hopefully we won't be seeing that again, or I'll be so mad at them.
It, How does Mercury in retrograde work? Is this like the hockey god karma where it feels like you're building up tallies and eventually the pendulum's going to swing the other way? Or is this just, it can get infinitely bad?
I think it actually is dependent on how much you believe in it. I feel like if you don't believe in it, it affects you the least. So it's something I encourage nobody to lean into and not to fear in any way. And if you have no awareness of it existing, it's probably better.
So the more we signal boost this, yeah, the more we screw everything.
And as Dylan,
this is all on us.
As Dylan has reminded us, we did this tarot card reading what feels like 3 years ago at this point. But
I actually did want to rewatch that podcast to see what some of those predictions were and how they came to fruition now through the end.
Yeah. The only ones I remember are the tower, of course.
Like, what was he Confers? I feel like his was memorable.
Yeah, and Confers was like, I can't remember the cards that were pulled, but it was like, he's going to face adversity and will either, like, overcome it or crash and burn. And somehow he managed to do both by starting the season super hot and then going disappear mode.
Well, and then his BFF got traded halfway through the year, so...
Did the cards see that coming?
Then he was lonely.
Did we? I can't even remember if we did Jost on the show or not.
I think you did.
Okay. I don't remember either. I just remember, will they win the Stanley Cup? And she pulled the tower and then the cups. And it was like, oh, but it's sideways. So there's a blockage. And it was like, yeah, I would say so. It's called the fucking second round. And... I just don't, yeah. And
you broke your mic. AJ's mic is in retrograde.
Oh my gosh, technology issues.
Communication.
Oh my god.
It's happening.
I'm going back to bed. Actually, I have this whole article that I'm writing about how the F stomped out the Predators.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so make sure you go check that out. You can get a DNVR Avalanche and Eagles membership right now over on the DNVR.com. Yeah.
There should be, in theory, a Sean Behrens piece one of these days.
There is a Sean Behrens piece.
We just sort of forgot about it because we've been really busy.
That forgettable guy.
The playoffs did kind of start happening, and things went a little haywire.
Yeah, I began transcribing it last night at the bar. So I'm gonna work on Behrens.
There you go.
Maddie doesn't know how the blocks were, or how the blockages work with the cards. Laxative's not gonna fix that, my man. It's just gonna change your day in a really bad way.
The laxative might become the blockage at that point.
That could be a problem.
Anyway, yeah, the DNVR Avalanche content, we have absolute gobs of it here on YouTube and on the site. If you get an annual membership, of course, you get a free shirt. I think there's still a couple Nas shirts left, but
nope,
they're gone.
Yep, when that gets back in, and it's a free for all. But well, the first run is finished.
You'll have to settle for the dope Howler shirt from Breck Brew instead.
Those are really cool.
So a pretty dope shirt nonetheless, or any of our other options, of course. There's the Nas shirt and the Howler shirt. So go check those out. Of course, you can just buy them at the dnvrlocker.com too. Yeah, I'm good. Any final thoughts beyond what we covered?
No. Eagle shirt when? I'm kidding. If they could do it all, I think that would warrant an Eagle shirt. Oh no.
Mercury's back, dog. No one can hear you.
Is Yahir muting it? Is he messing with them?
No, I hope so.
No sense. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here.
I'm not doing anything at all, but I'm just laughing my ass off because he keeps talking and I'm just like, it's not working.
Don't lie. We know your nickname is Mercury.
He's so Keith Stewart.
That was definitely him. That one was definitely him. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. We appreciate all y'all watching along. Be sure to like and subscribe here on YouTube. That helps us out, of course, especially if you like Eagles content. We know there's a good number of you that have been asking us to put more stuff like this on the podcast. So we're going to do our best to bring it to you. Obviously, Megan doing all the hard work on these ones. So shout out, Megan. Go read her Barron's piece whenever it comes out. We're out of here, and we will be back tomorrow probably to talk NHL playoffs and where all these ridiculous series stand.